little bit disappointed that you don't see that caterpillar coming out of its cocoon right now. We watched that for 6 weeks, didn't we? Today we start a brand new series. And it's been placed upon my heart in the starting of this new series is to study a book. We're going to study the book of Thessalonians. We're going to a place, a city of Thessalonica. Real city, real place, real people. But as you travel there, it's different today than it would have been back then. I don't know that it's any more dangerous, but it is dangerous. We're going to approach this by looking in chapter 1, and we're going to see this, and we're going to say, how can I study the Bible? But I'm thinking about, how can I live a dynamic Christian life? Are you dynamic, you dormant? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you dynamic or are you dormant? Joy, do you know the difference? Okay, good. I'm glad. So here's the definition. Let me just help you out with the definition. Dynamic is defined full of energy, enthusiasm, and a sense of purpose, and able both to get things going and to get things done. All right? You got that? One more time. It's full of energy, enthusiasm, a sense of purpose, able to get things going and to get things done. That's dynamic. What? The penguin. Yeah, that's the penguin. And then the other is dormant. The bear. All right. Dormant is defined. In an inactive state, I can see it now, in an inactive state when growth and development slow or cease in order to survive adverse environmental conditions. Let me run that one more time. In an inactive state when growth and development slow or cease in order to survive adverse environment conditions. Are you dynamic? Dormant, penguin, or bear? Now, the reason why we've got to come to grips with this is because we got to determine some things. David Platt, in his book, How to Study the Bible, wrote, and this was in 2007 when he wrote it, he says, there are nearly 200 million Christ followers worldwide who do not have the basic human rights. They cannot gather together to worship. They cannot gather together to read the Bible. In many cases, if they do, they are arrested, imprisoned, tormented, or even killed. Today, he said, it is estimated there are 70 million Christ followers in prison worldwide. That blew me out of the saddle. 70 million Christ followers imprisoned. The name Jesus Christ. As we studied in secret church the other night, one of the things that the people from Korea were praying for, send us people who will teach us how to go to jail. It was not a matter of if they were going to jail. For the Christians in that area, that part of the world, if you were a Christian, you had spent time in jail. Tom Dole wrote in Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe. He wrote about the pirate Somalia. A young man had a vision, dream of Jesus Christ. He had the vision three times. And on the third time when he had the vision, the dream laying on the bed was a cross. And the cross was covered in blood. He went to tell his brother. He went to tell his mother. Mother, let me tell you. And he asked her to come into the room. And he said, do you see it? Mother responded to him, son, leave now. Never come back. And that's what he did. He gathered up a few belongings. He left and he went to another city. He thought he could get away from where his father would be. A month or so passed and he received a box. The box with his name on it. He saw the box was coming from his father. He looked at the box. He felt the box. Because he knew the weight of it, he was checking to see if a bomb was in it. When he opened up the box and he opened up the container, he noticed that it was body parts and a picture of his mother. What had happened? The father killed the mother because she helped him get away. And then time passed along, and this young man who was living for Jesus, he gave his life for Jesus Christ. And eventually the two men that killed his mother, he came back into contact with them, and they were hearing about what Christ in their life. And he said, I wanted to know one thing. I always wanted to know one thing. Did my mother see the cross? And the guy said, I don't know that, but I can tell you, when we were cutting her and killing her, she said, Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Folks, that's reality. That's going on in our world today. Guys, that's when, y'all remember seeing the movie God's Not Dead? Y'all remember seeing that? You remember seeing the Muslim girl there and the struggle that happened to her? That's real. That's not hearsay. That's happening. Even while we speak. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are we dynamic? Are we dormant? Are we in a survive mode, allowing the circumstances that are surrounding us just to keep us pressed down, not growing, just trying to survive? Or are we dynamic? I suggest to you that we must become and are many a dynamic church. The world needs to know Christ lives. You have the opportunity. Inside of this book right here, we're going to be studying it. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Folks, I suggest to you, we need to become a threefold cord. We need to become strong. Now, there are seven steps to a dynamic faith. And inside of this, how to get things done in the midst of an adverse situation. And we're going to travel through in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. So if you want to be reading what's going to happen 2 weeks from now, we'll just keep reading. And study this book. We're learning how to study in our small group on Sunday morning. Read this. Get to know these people on a first name basis. If you're going to be a dynamic Christian, you're going to have to reach out and you're going to have to get to know people who are around you who are dynamic. Dormant people will not encourage you in the faith. Dynamic people will. Dormant people want you just to be on a survival mechanism. Dynamic people want to get things done. God wants us to be dynamic. So how are we going to do this? We're going to look at a dynamic life, and we're going to see the life of men who lived and believed. We're going to look at the fruit and why people in Thessalonica were remembered. We're going to look that dynamic life comes and it begins with the Word of God. And this dynamic life is reproducible. It's not something stale. That's one reason why I like David Platt. I'm bringing that up a lot right now, but David Platt said, when you take his study, this is not for you. This is for you to receive and give it away. Dynamic life spreads the faith. It's going to bear the marks of the new birth. And this is one I want you to hear. A dynamic life lives with hope. Our world needs hope. So have you got your Bible? Let me see it. Okay, good. And those who don't have it, you'll have it next week. Because a lot of this, you need to underline stuff. You say, I don't underline my... Then get you a sheet of paper. I mark, underline, highlight, everything I can to get the Word of God in me. So I want you to see these dynamic... The first verse... It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Joy, when you're studying the Bible, many times you're going to discover a pattern that's going to be in there. The pattern that you're going to see in this chapter is three. Look for threes. Okay? When you study, Joe, you do this. Okay? When you're studying, look for threes inside of here. The first three I want you to see, what's the first three? Verse one is what? You got it. Three guys. The first guy that it starts with, a guy named Paul, you know what he is? He's a terrorist. He was a religious terrorist that went about killing people who stood up for the cause of Jesus Christ. He would have fit right into the society, many of the societies that are in the Middle East. He was a terrorist. Anybody that was contrary to what his belief and all was, he was out to have them imprisoned, tortured, killed. This terrorist had a vision. This terrorist, a dreamlike, this terrorist saw Jesus. Remember that young man from Somalia? By the way, Jesus Christ is coming to many Muslim peoples in dreams. And many of them are being converted. So I want you to see now this terrorist. Secondly, I want to see the guy that's with him. Silvanus, he's also known as Silas. Silas was a teacher of the word. Silas was also his companion when they went into prison. And when they were beaten. And when they were tortured. And it was Silas, it was the guy that was with Paul. Saul's name was changed to Paul a little later. And they were in a Philippian jailer. Listen to them singing. And while they were singing, there was an earthquake. The power of God was released. And the door swung wide open. Even so much that the Philippian jailer that was there said, hey, he was about to kill himself. And they said, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And then there's another guy there. His name's Timothy. Young Timothy. He had a godly grandmother. He had a godly mother. And now he was God's man of the hour. He became an evangelist. He became a teacher. And he was the young guy that was under Timothy. Are you with me? Okay. Three. Did you capture that? And we're going to see this. Now, as you begin to see these three guys that are moving together, I want you to look and see the next three. A dynamic life yields fruit to be remembered. What is happening in the life of you that is going to be remembered by somebody else so that they might pray for you? In other words, many times you come up to the preacher and say, hey, preacher, pray for me for this reason. When we begin to think, when we were meeting together with Secret Church the other night, and these people from Korea said, would you pray for us in this capacity? What's going on in your life that other people would remember and pray on your behalf? A dynamic Christian, the Penguin, has three areas, and I want you to see those right there in verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Did you hear that? Now let me capture there. We give thanks to God always, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing. You see, there's something that keeps coming back to their attention. Something that keeps coming back before them. Some reason they're praying on behalf of this group of people. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, 1. Labor of love, 2. Patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Are you with me? Do you see these three areas right here? Work of faith, labor of love, patient or steadfast hope. What makes a person a dynamic thrust? What makes you that individual that somebody is so wrapped up that they're going to pray for you? And the first one was work of faith. Work. Work. Action. Behavior. Deeds. A business and employment. any product, whatever, everything accomplished by hand or art, an act, a deed, the thing. The idea of working is emphasized as opposed to that less of work. Work! What are you going to be remembered as? What work are you doing in the kingdom? It's not Wall Street. It's not Microsoft. It's not Donald Trump. What work are you doing that somebody is remembering you specifically because they know you need prayer for? So, what work? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it because it is revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. Work. Visible, physical, see it, words, deeds, actions. What does it look like? What does this work look like? Tom Doyle also wrote in the book Killing Christians Living, The Faith Where It's Not Safe to Be, a group of men buried, a group of men bought a plot of ground to be buried in. They knew that when they followed Christ, and when did they worship Christ most of the time? 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. They knew in that plot of ground that they would die for their faith. And when they met each other, one of the comments that they would make, they would say, no one's in the cemetery today. Living on the edge creates one to be dynamic. So, have you labored to remember? There is the work of faith, but secondly, there is the labor of love. Now, what's the difference? Work of faith, what's the difference between work and labor? That question was asked me. So by definition, we gave the work, the things that would be done, but labor is that word of faith. Let me get the right word. I'm struggling to find this word for you just a moment. It's laborious toil. The word means a beating. A beating of one's breast. Grief, sorrow. It's labor to cause one trouble. To make work for him. Intense labor united with trouble. When you... a labor causing trouble, a labor of love, grief intensified, laborious. Matthew 26:10 says, but when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring out this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach the gospel to you. 2 Corinthians 6:8, he says, in stripes, imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless, in fastings. Labors. Laboring, working night and day for the cause of the gospel of Christ. There's a huge difference right here. Labor of love. Intently grief causing trouble. People come to them and they say, I'm sorry I caused you trouble. Boy, my mama apologizes all the time. Don't you want to whoop mama sometime? Mama, I'm not doing it. It ain't no work. I'm doing this because I love you. She's an old son. But you know what? A labor. Labor of love. Bothering somebody, working somebody, grieving, keeping them up late at night. Labor of love. Danny, tell me, do sometimes you get those calls late at night, somebody wanting to talk? Labor of love. That's what we're talking about here. You see, and then the word goes on. Number three, I want you to see that you have patience in hope. That's word patience. Patience is a remaining behind, a patient, enduring, endurance, perseverance, steadfast. By definition, steadfast, constantly, endurance. A steadfast waiting for, a patient, enduring, sustaining. Let me give you some scripture. James 5:11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And first in Revelation 1:9, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom, patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:6. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffered. Or if we comforted, it is for your consolation of salvation. What are we saying here? Do you have what it takes? Work. Labor. Steadfast. That's what he's saying to us. Faith, love, hope. Let's look at the three hallmarks real quick. The three hallmarks that we're seeing is that, number one, that faith is a distinguishable mark of a dynamic Christian. What is that? That word faith, it's based on conviction. If I walked up to you and asked you the question, are you willing to die for Christ? In this area in which we're living in, you'd hear some people might say, well, I hope so. Maybe. I think it would, or I'm not sure. But there are other environments. It's either yes or no. Do you have the conviction? Conviction. The work of faith. You see, your convictions are going to determine what you do. You will act based on your conviction. Conviction separates the weak from the strong. Conviction separates the believer from the non-believer. Conviction separates the sin from the sinner. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father. So therefore, faith is a distinguishable. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What's your conviction? Conviction of the truth. Listen, folks, you are bombarded on a daily basis with error. But do you have a conviction for the truth? The conviction for the truth will make you walk in the face of death. The conviction for the truth will make you tell the truth when it's easier to tell a lie. The conviction for the truth will say, I am going to sell myself, I've sold myself out for Jesus Christ, so that anything that comes along, I will not partake. Conviction. Conviction. Conviction can give up alcohol. Conviction can give up smoking. Conviction can give up pornography. Conviction can give up idolatry. Conviction can give up the wrong job. Conviction can take out the wrong TV channels. Conviction. You've got to have conviction. And so the dynamic believer is distinct, has a distinguishable mark of faith. The fidelity, the character we believe in. Secondly, love is a distinct mark of a dynamic believer. Love? All y'all talk about is love. That's right. You better hear about love. Because without love, you're nothing. You can be the richest man in the world. Without love, you're nothing. You can be the greatest preacher in the world. Without love, you're nothing. You can have faith to move mountains. Without love, you're nothing. You can have a house full of kids. Without love, you're nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says you can even offer your body up for science. Other people can live because they get your organs. But without love, nothing. Love lays open the character of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. Never. But without it, nothing. Hope is a discernible mark of a dynamic believer. Hope, the desire of some good with the expectation of obtaining it. What kind of hope do you have? What kind of hope do you have? Hope builds determination in salvation. For in hope we have been saved. Hope builds courage in tribulation. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. Hope builds confidence in other believers. Hope builds up the guarantee of a better covenant in Jesus Christ. Hope builds upon present reality of Christ being the fulfillment of the law. Hope removes the anticipation for the actualization. Jesus said these words, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hope. We have the promises of His resurrection and His perpetual spiritual presence with us and His final return of glory. We have the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of the glory of God. We have the hope of the resurrection of the dead. All of our hope is summed up in one person. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Our hope lies in the promise that one day we'll be with Him. And Christ is the hope of glory. And Christ is the only hope. Hope. What distinguishes you? Hope builds a distinctive mark in a Christian life in opposition to the hopeless of a Gentile world. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring Him with those who fall asleep. Hope. What's the distinguishing mark of you? Do you experience the fullness of God? Do you experience the fullness of faith? Do you experience the fullness of understanding? Now abideth three. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth three. Faith, hope, and love. And what's the greatest? Love. Today. Work of faith. Labor of love. Steadfast hope. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, we want to be dynamic Christians. Dormant is not an option. Father, we want to be of those who are going to see that things need to be done and get things done. We're going to have works, Lord, starting today. We're going to labor. We're going to toil. We're going to be grieved. We're going to do whatever. We're going to bother people. Lord, we're going to experience people bothering us. God, we're going to labor for love. And by the grace of Almighty God, we're going to stand fast. In the face of death and in the face of life and in the face of those things that we come into contact tomorrow, by the grace of God, we are going to be a dynamic Christian. And Father, if there's anyone right now who is selling out for the dormant, who's dragging like the bear, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you will convict them and show them the essence of our brothers and sisters in Korea, in China, in Somalia, in Egypt, in Sudan, in Saudi Arabia. Lord, we got brothers and sisters in Christ who put it all on the line. Today, Lord, we acknowledge that we have received a birth certificate and a death certificate all in one. And for me now to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Lord, today, dynamic Christians, in Jesus' name, amen. That's our call, folks. That's our call. Paul's writing to the people in Thessalonica and speaking to them the truth. Dynamic. Dynamic. Where does it all begin? It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot be a dynamic Christian if you don't have a dynamic Christ. You've got to have Christ inside of your life. And if you got Christ inside of your life, then dormancy is not an option. We need to be growing, working, laboring, and steadfast. The power of God is able to conquer. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? If not, I'm asking you, under the power of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to give your life to Jesus Christ right now. That's what I'm asking for. And for those who are on the borderline, I'm asking you to get off the line. It's life and death. I'm asking you to take your stand for Jesus Christ right now. Christians, I'm asking us to hear the call. Thessalonica, the people from Thessalonica was known all over the region because of their work, their labor, and their steadfastness. I'm asking you, State Line Baptist, to be known all over the community for your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfast perseverance. That's what I'm asking for. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing left out. You might be known. And as with David and Goliath, let the people know there's a God in the land. He's here right now. Prayer altars are going to be open. Some people need to give their life to Jesus. The call is evident. It's before you. What are you going to do with the call? What's the invitation, guys? Open my eyes. Let's stand together.